Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Welcome to Vegan Food and Living's Simply Vegan podcast with me, Holly Johnson, and my co-host, Molly Pickering. Each week, we discuss the latest vegan news, taste test the newest vegan products, and speak to some of the leading names in veganism about everything from nutrition, immunity, and weight loss to recipe ideas and alternative proteins. We also answer your questions each week, so don't forget to email us at simplyvegan@anthem.co.uk. Welcome back to the Simply Vegan podcast. We took a little break last week, didn't we, Molly? We couldn't quite coordinate our recording because you very selfishly went on holiday.
And I ran away.
Did you have a nice time?
It was so strange. We were in this field in Wales for a few nights in like this lovely little shepherd's hut. It was gorgeous. Just had a few days off, ate loads of lovely food, so much food.
That sounds so nice. What sort of food were you eating? Were you cooking yourselves, like round the campfire? Or?
Oh my God, yeah. So one night we did like grilled vegetables, just some barbecue beans, got some sausages. The only thing is, there's like Shepherd's Hut didn't have a fridge, so we were quite restricted. It was like a lot of canned stuff. But we were only there for two nights, so that was fine.
Sometimes you just so need to get away, don't you? And that's, I mean, I say you're selfish and went away. I actually went to London. And oh my God, the vegan food up there was incredible. I so needed to get away. I got so kind of so stressed with kind of everything going, like world events, like with Afghanistan and obviously like doing the job that we do. We are constantly exposed to and reading about all the kind of awful things that are happening to animals or the climate. Yeah. And I think it can really let it get to you. And at the end of the day, I can only do as much as I can do. I can't, I can't save the world single-handedly. So I think I so needed a break. We had a little family trip to London.
Amazing.
And I did a lot of eating as well. God,
obviously.
We went to a few really good places. So we went to a Mexican place in Covent Garden called Cafe Pacifico.
Which oh my goodness.
Was so good. I had wild garlic mushroom tacos.
Wow.
With margaritas, which is just the best combination. I think Mexican is actually my favorite food in the whole world, I've decided.
I think I agree, it's so fresh, it's delicious.
So many flavours, it lends itself so well to plant-based eating, I think.
Yeah.
We did walk past Oaxaca on the South Bank, which looked great as well. I used to go to Oaxaca when I lived in Bristol, but I haven't been for ages, so that's another good Mexican option in London. And then on the last day, we went to Unity Diner, which was founded by Earthling Ed.
Oh, amazing.
If, for anyone that doesn't know who he is, he's kind of a, well, he's kind of a quite a big name in the vegan movement, isn't he? He's done TED Talks. He's done, you know, he's founded Surge, which is, he's kind of a vegan activist, isn't he?
And yeah.
He now runs a sanctuary, an animal sanctuary as well. So it was his diner. And someone I interviewed on the podcast actually said that that was the best food they'd eaten. So I was like, right, I have to go. So kind of trekked across London, like changing tubes and stuff to get there. Really, really cool inside, like big, you know, neon, like the future's vegan, like very Instagrammable interiors. And I had a cocktail called Piers Morgan's Tears, which I just was just brilliant.
Perfect.
Yeah. And I mean, some of the burgers are just amazing. I had like a fish, it's like a fish burger, obviously not fish. It was like tofu, made with tofu, and it's all kind of stacked up with like vegan prawns on top, like crispy coated vegan prawns.
Oh my gosh,
it was so good.
I would have that burger. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's if anyone wants to check out the pictures, you can follow me on Instagram, Holly_Anne_Johnson. Bit of a mouthful. but yeah, like all the pictures are on there. Yeah, it was really good. Came back feeling you know, all my clothes were a little bit tight, but hey, it had to
That's
be done.
Fine. You're on a holiday. That's fine.
Yeah, so we're back with the podcast, and we're sorry that we weren't here last week, but we're not going anywhere now. So stick
we're
around.
Here.
Yeah, we're here. We're in it for the long haul. So news this week. First up, the plant-based treaty. Now, you wrote this story up for the Vegan Food and Living website, didn't you? Tell us what it's all about. It's kind of like activists signing a treaty worldwide,
yeah,
isn't it?
So it's like this global campaign. I'm not too sure where it started, but I think it was just kind of a, like, loads of places grouped together to like create this campaign. And essentially what it was, it happened last week, where activists around the world sort of went outside city halls and council buildings and sort of like protests for the government just changed the way that our food system is right now, because it just doesn't work. So loads of people have, you know, signed up to be
Moby, maybe, Leona Lewis, Hench Herbivores, quite a few big names.
So many big people. Yeah, it's really exciting. And yeah, it seemed like loads of people got on board with that.
Oh, can we sign up to it?
Yeah, so you can. You can go. I was about to get my phone out and show you. Hold on a second.
We are using the medium of speech only on the podcast.
I know.
I'm afraid, Molly. You're on the wrong platform. I'll have to go
I'm
to
on
YouTube.
The wrong platform. I'm such a hands-on person. I'm just like, let me show you a second.
Yeah, so if you head to the Vegan Food and Living website, you can access it from the story.
Yeah, so they're tagged in the story, and then their website is tagged, so you go through there and you become an endorser.
Yeah, well, everyone listening, get on over there and put your name on the treaty.
Go, go, go.
Another interesting bit of news, piece in the Independent online, flipping things on their head. And it's written by a lady who's been vegetarian since the age of 14 and wants to go vegan, but can't, because she just feels those sort of social pressures when people go, oh, you know, polishing your halo, not drinking cow's milk, not doing this. And yeah, it just sort of rang true with me, because it can be really hard to tell people that you've gone vegan, can't it? Did you struggle with it at all?
I think so. I think mainly like with my family back at home. So obviously in like a small village and stuff, it's not as common as say like in Bristol. So I didn't struggle, but you did have the odd like you said, sort of like Mickey taken out of you and stuff. It's just like, oh, you're just eating grass now and stuff like this. And I think fortunately that attitude is changing and that perception is changing. You will always have people that aren't going to agree with everything that you do, and I think veganism will always have that sort of like barrier almost of just like small minded people, we'll call them, that just aren't willing to accept or change. And I think they will be pushed back for a bit. But yeah, I can definitely see how people get sort of put off by wanting to make that change because of that, you know, stigma.
Yeah, I mean, the whole sort of idea behind this article is that actually it's not vegans that are preachy, it's actually meat eaters.
Yeah.
And you can kind of relate to that because they're the ones kind of saying, oh, you shouldn't be doing, you know, it's ridiculous, where are you going to get your protein? You know, soya's killing the planet, not eating beef and all this. And it's like, well, I'm just quietly going vegan here.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're the ones challenging me. So yeah, it's a really interesting article. Head over to independent.co.uk and have a read of it if you're interested in reading more about that. On to our reviews for this week. We've had lots of yummy treats, haven't we?
Oh my goodness. It's like Christmas constantly. I love it.
Yeah, well, you mentioned the C word. I know. We're actually starting to get sent the Christmas ranges. So we're going to start that next week, aren't we? We're gonna sort of delay that a tiny bit because we're not ready. Like, we're in a heat wave right now. I don't want to think about Christmas.
I can't get it in my head yet. I've been writing the Christmas articles for work and it's just when it was a bit colder it was fine because I was just like, what is it, December, is it August? I don't know. But now the summer's come back and it is actually beginning to be autumn. It's just, we'll get our Christmas jumpers on next week though.
yeah we've got lots of lovely things to share with you. Well, before we go on to Christmas things next week, we reviewed, and I don't know how to pronounce this. It's spelled V-A-D-A-S-Z. So I'm guessing Vadas?
I think it is Vadas.
Yeah. So it's a brand of like pickled and fermented foods. They're £4.50 at Waitrose, M&S, Sainsbury's, the Co-op and Ocado. And we were sent the whole range. There's like a super green kimchi, a raw kimchi, garlic and dill sauerkraut, pickled red onions and pickled gherkins. Are you a pickly person?
Am I? Pickles might actually be my favourite thing in the whole entire world. But I'm not even being dramatic. The pickle game in the UK is dead. It's so bad. Maybe that's just my local Tesco is just not very good. But oh my God, when these came, it was just what I needed. Everything was so good. I think my favorite had to be the pickled gherkins with garlic, isn't it? Pickled gherkins with garlic. Oh my goodness.
Yeah,
it was perfect. They're like, they had a good little bit of spice in there which you don't normally get, and the green kimchi, that was amazing. That was so good.
It was really nice to try these because you can put them with so many different things, like a salad or in a burger or with
everything.
Anything. I was literally
curries.
Yeah.
You literally can have it with everything.
Yeah. And so good for your gut because it's fermented. Encourages those really good bacteria, which has been linked to so many things like your immune system, your mental health. I'm a massive pickle fan as well, actually, as regular listeners will know. I think it can be an acquired taste. I mean, I must admit, when I opened the garlic and dill sauerkraut, the smell of garlic, I thought, whoa, I could see my sister's face because she always says, I stink of garlic. So I could just see her face kind of going, ooh. So I guess it's an acquired taste. I don't know, but I loved it.
I love sauerkraut. I love sauerkraut so much. And like you said, it's just so good for you and it just tastes amazing. But yeah, the smell can be a bit off-putting, but I think get past it.
Yeah, get stuck in. I mean, they're £4.50. So, you know, it's fairly pricey, but you're getting really good quality product here that is doing you some good. And they're big tubs, aren't they?
Yeah, I was going to say that. They are big tubs. And also for me, once you finish the tub, you've got more tubs to pickle. I'm going to be pickling away in my kitchen.
Oh, well done. I've still not got round to it. I really need to start fermenting things, but I'm just always so busy. I blame the children.
And it's fine. You've got kids. I've not.
Do some pickling for me.
I will. I'll send them over to you.
The other thing we tried were some soups, really, really healthy, high protein soups from Press. And the web address is press-london.com. I think it's a fairly new startup. They also do cold pressed juices. all their products contain like wonky veg and veg from certified farms. The soups are £4.50, but they are big tubs again, aren't they?
Like, yeah, they're big. Yeah, I was gonna say you could get two out of them if you're like having lunch or whatever, but they were delicious again. We're so healthy this week.
I know. Yeah, we'll wait for it. We're getting to some chocolate.
Yeah, we'll wait.
But yeah, like kale, kelp and black garlic was one of the flavours. Another was slow roasted tomato with red quinoa, chili and basil. I really liked that one.
That one was really nice. And the pea and mint one as well. That was good.
Yeah, there's a whole range of flavours and they are kind of health focused. So for people that want to like pack in their plant-based nutrition and maybe lose weight, things like that. So yeah, really nice quality soups. Also reviewed the Sweet Freedom Choc Pot, which is around £3 at Tesco, Asda, Morrison, Sainsbury's, Ocado, and various other stockists, which you can find at the Sweet Freedom website. So yeah, this is a chocolate spread. It's kind of like a vegan alternative to Nutella, isn't it?
Yeah, it reminded me of that.
Yeah, and it's lower in fats. It's only 14 calories per teaspoon, apparently. So it's 74% less fat than Nutella, which is
not too bad. We're not too unhealthy this week.
No, true. it's naturally sweetened with fruit extracts. And I mean, I had it on toast, but there's so many things you can do with it. Pancakes, overnight oats, porridge, ice cream, things like that. They donate part of the profits to PETA. So
we've had products from them before. They're a really good company. I think I did this for the last one. I just keep making banana breads and putting their stuff in my banana breads, but it's just great. They're so good. The filling kind of like, it reminded me of when you go to like Europe and you have croissants in like a packet and like that chocolate filling of like pan chocolates and stuff. That's the kind of like what it reminded me of. I really liked it. It was good.
Quite a rich spread, isn't it?
Yeah, really rich.
Yeah. Okay, well, on to our questions. We have one from Natalia Williams who contacted me on Instagram. Thank you, Natalia. It's really good to hear from you. She says she's put on weight. And my show notes say, haha, join the club. Because, yeah, I have. I think a lot of us have since the pandemic. Yeah. Do you feel like that's been the case?
I think so. I think it's just this element of like, we deserve it. And
yeah, life's too short. Know,
life's too short. We're all busy or we're all catching up now and stuff. And we all want to get together over food and drink or whatever, which is lovely. But my jeans don't fit anymore.
This is it. I don't mind being a little bit curvier.
Yeah.
You know, I'm probably half a stone heavier than pre-pandemic. But yeah, none of your clothes fit. And you want to be as healthy and trim as you can be, don't you? I think my advice on this, I mean, it's a tricky one because I don't know what your lifestyle is like, Natalia. I mean, for me, certainly sitting at a desk, you know, 9 to 5 and not
in the house,
I've definitely put on weight doing that. So I would definitely say stand up as often as possible. A lot of people are getting the stand up desks, aren't they? Or even just just walk around the house a bit because it just kickstarts your metabolism. Also the eating window. So if you look back over previous episodes, I spoke to PT and nutritionist Kath Short in the last series, I believe it was. And she advises to eat within an eating window. So she doesn't eat after 7:30 at night and then doesn't eat before 11:30 the next day.
Okay.
And I found that really good because I was just getting up and just you kind of wake up. You don't think about, do I need food? Am I actually hungry?
You just do it. Yeah.
You just do it. And you get up, you're like, oh, breakfast, yum. And sometimes I was eating thinking, I don't even want this. And also I was loading up my porridge or granola bowl or whatever, thinking, oh, this is good. This, you know, chia and goji berries, this is all like really good for me, and nuts and seeds. But actually, if I'm sitting at a desk all day, do I need all those calories?
Exactly.
I don't. So I think it depends what you're doing. If you're getting up and doing like a hardcore workout every morning, then you're probably going to want to come back and have a good breakfast or smoothie or something like that. But
yeah,
if you're not, then, you know, I think it's just about listening to your body, because we're all different, aren't we? I know with me, yeah, it's bread. Bread really, I just love bread. And
that's my issue as well. Bread, I am such a big fan of just like bread and butter, like good bread, nice butter, obviously vegan butter, but it's just so easy. It's so simple and it's just so delicious, but it's fine because you can cut it out. It's fine.
Yeah. I find if I do cut it out, it forces me to be more creative with what I'm eating.
Definitely.
And just think about different grains. So couscous, quinoa, amaranth, yeah, you know, all these kind of these ancient grains that they talk about are really good for keeping you full. Because I think a lot of the time, yeah, as well, it's about, you know, if you have a big bit of bread, you're going to get a spike. And then you're going to get a drop in, you know,
just
your blood
snacking
sugar
as well, isn't it?
Yeah, and then you're like, oh, I'm hungry again. Well,
and then you're in that cycle, exactly. I feel like each week I need to absorb what we're saying for myself.
You need to listen back to your own podcast.
I need to listen back, because it's so hard. And like I said, you'd have, I don't know, say if you had like a busy week or whatever, then straight away you're more inclined to be like, oh, I don't want to cook tonight. We'll have something easy or whatever. Glass of wine. It's so easy to just slip in. And I think just making wise choices, but then also don't be too hard on yourself because a lot is going on right now.
Yeah, exactly. I totally agree. I mean, I think, yeah, listen to your body. If you kind of constantly feel bloated, then give your gut a rest. Just stop kind of, you know, because us humans weren't designed to have all this food around us all the time.
Yeah.
Constantly there, isn't it? Whatever you fancy, you can just nip to the supermarket and you can get it in an instant. Whereas historically, you would have had periods where you would have less food. You know, so I think for me, like I've done a day long water cleanse before, which I never thought I'd be able to do. But it's weird. It's such a cliche, isn't it? You know, have a glass of water and see how you feel. But actually, every time I had a glass of water, I was like, oh, I'm not actually hungry. And oh, I felt so amazing afterwards, like my energy levels, you know, because it's just giving your whole digestive system a rest. The other question we've had this week is about calcium. So we've kind of been lied to by the dairy industry, I think, since like the 80s when they came up with this campaign to say, you've got to drink milk to get your calcium. Well, you know, it's not true. Calcium is present in loads of natural foods that have to be vegan, such as greens, green veg like kale, watercress. It's in dried fruit, beans, nuts and seeds. And also actually plant-based milk is fortified with calcium.
Yeah, exactly.
And tofu, pack in your tofu, 2 meals.
I think people just are, like you said, because it's been drilled into us for so long and it's what our parents think and it's sort of like passed down. It's just like, where are you going to get your calcium from? But because there's some things in there that I didn't even know had calcium in there. So as long as you do your research, you'd be so amazed of what actually is in some foods, because, you know, it's not just calcium but so many other like vital nutrients as well. It's just all around us.
Yeah, I think it's just about getting a really varied diet, isn't it? So don't eat the same thing day in, day out. Just really mix it up and, you know, think about seasonal veg and things like that. There's loads of great advice on this, as always, on the Vegan Food and Living website, also the Vegan Society. There's loads of information out there and just don't get hung up on it. I think once you start freaking out when someone said, oh, you're going to get, you know, fractured bones or something.
Yeah.
Don't panic. Just keep eating as healthy as possible.
Yeah. Literally, how often do you see people with like just walking down the street and like snap bones, like, oh, that's a vegan. That's not the case. It's not the case. You are getting your nutrients far more places than, say, the standard dairy eater drinker.
Yeah. Next, I'll be speaking to Olivia De Lima, who is an actress in Casualty, and she's up for an award at the National TV Awards next week.
So oh, wow.
We all need to vote for our fellow vegan. And stay tuned and have a listen to what she has to say. thanks for joining us today on the podcast. So you are currently an actress on Casualty, and you're up for Best Newcomer at the National TV Awards. Is that right?
Yeah, so I actually exited the show not long ago. It aired a couple of weeks ago, and just the week after, I think, I was nominated as in the newcomer category at the NTAs. So it's been a pretty overwhelming couple of weeks, but very exciting as well. Yeah, it's been a bit of a whirlwind.
Amazing. So what do you mean? You've only just started on Casualty and you've already been nominated?
The exact opposite. So I've been on the show for overall like a year and a half, but I exited, I left.
Oh, right.
I actually had an on-screen death at the end of the series, in the series finale. So it was a huge emotional thing. It was like a massive shock to the viewers. They had no idea, and I had to keep it quiet for so long. But no, so as soon as that aired, I don't know, maybe it was a week later, the nomination came out. So it was just like after thing, like emotion after emotion. So yeah, a bit overwhelming, but I'm obviously not complaining.
Oh gosh. So you're dead then.
Basically, yeah. Yep, that's it.
I'm sorry, I'm a terrible TV viewer because I just never watch it. I've got children and they're always, you know, my son's kind of takes over the screen and I just can't be bothered to fight to watch anything. So yeah, excuse my ignorance. I'm very behind with the world of like soaps and things. So what's it like working on Casualty?
It was just lovely. I loved it. I've not been able to get over still how welcoming everyone was, because I was terrified. This established show that's been going on for over 30 years, I was so scared to walk in there as a newbie. And, you know, sometimes when a new person comes along, people can be a bit funny, but they weren't at all. They just embraced me. I was part of the team immediately. And yeah, I was a paramedic on the show, so I was up at all hours, anywhere in Wales. I don't know, like with explosions, running down the road, like collapsing sheds, all this business. Oh, I gave birth at the bottom of a woodland. So I honestly, that year and a half I was there, I experienced so much. I mean, not as much as my character, what she went through.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was amazing. And like, I'll have those memories forever.
It sounds brilliant. So what was it like being a vegan on set?
So I became a vegan during lockdown, actually. So I've been a veggie for a few years, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. And then I went vegan during lockdown because it just made sense. I don't know. I feel like I was born to be vegan, and it just took me a long time to get there.
Yeah.
So I went back and I was like, oh God, I need to tell them that I'm now vegan and not just veggie. Because the catering and stuff, it was always veggie. I never even thought about whether it had whatever in it. So I was very nervous about that. But catering was great when we were on location. But the canteen, when we were in the studio, apparently their vegan options were salad, rice and beans.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I didn't even try it. I just took a packed lunch every day. I didn't want to take that risk of just having like carbs or lettuce for lunch. No, to be fair, actually, that carbs is generally my lunch, but still plain carbs I was not up for. But yeah, it was good. They definitely took it into account, which is nice.
So presumably you were the only vegan on set.
I on location generally, because I think I was the only paramedic, you know, supposed paramedic who was vegan, but we have a vegan nurse on the show, a vegan doctor. So, but I think everyone just got in the habit of bringing a packed lunch, basically.
Yeah.
Just to avoid any issues. And there are lots of dietary requirements on such a big show. So everyone was kind of used to having to avoid lots of things. So it was just easier to bring your own.
So, I mean, what sort of turned you then during lockdown? What kind of made you think, that's it, I'm going to give up the dairy and eggs?
Yeah, so I went veggie because I'd tried when I was really young, when I was like 8 or something. And my parents were like, no, because I didn't eat anything. Like all I would eat was chicken nuggets. I was such a fussy eater. so they were just like, no, you're not doing this. So I was like, okay. And I just kind of got used to my brother used to kind of trick me and pretend like if I was eating duck that it wasn't duck. You know, he'd be like, it's not actually duck. And I'd be like, yeah, surely it's not. Surely I'm not eating a duck. Like, I just couldn't,
oh, no, yeah,
couldn't get my head around it. Obviously, got to a certain age that I was like, well, that's not true. And over time, I was just slowly cutting things out. I think the first thing I properly cut out was lamb. And it went from there and then became a veggie because I was like, what am I doing? I can't eat animals. And then going vegan, it was a process, but it sounds funny, but Joaquin Phoenix's Oscar speech really stuck in my head because he just was talking about veganism, basically. And it finally, like, I couldn't ignore it. It just hit me in the face.
Yeah.
And I'd always said, like, oh, I'll go vegan one day, maybe like when I'm rich, because I think I always thought it would be like I'd have to buy ready meals and they'd have to be, you know, I couldn't prepare all this stuff myself.
Yeah.
And then I just did more research, even like, and when I'd cut out most things, it was then honey that I was like, oh, I need to kind of learn more. Saw a video and I was just crying my eyes out. I'm just, anything, even a cute picture of an animal, I'm crying. So when it's cruelty, I cannot cope with it. And I was just like, what am I doing? My life isn't worth more than theirs. So why am I? Yeah, it just suddenly clicked. And then I first gave up eggs. And I just now, it's such a weird concept if I were ever to eat eggs again. It's just bizarre. And the options are getting better. Like the alternatives are getting better every day.
So much better.
Yeah, they really are.
Yeah, it's so easy to do now. I think I was exactly the same as you, actually. I was sort of a bit veggie and kind of thought, God, I could never go vegan because I'd have to cook everything from scratch and it would be so strict. And how on earth would I cut out all these things? And then I think you just kind of arrive at a point, don't you, where you start to look into it and then there's just no going back then. I think once you know, like you say with honey, you know, people say, well, what's wrong with honey, you know? Mm-hmm. And then you look into it and you're like, oh right, yeah, no, that's not good.
Yeah,
I think, yeah, it's amazing once you start to learn how to cook in a different way. It's actually really exciting, isn't it? And you think, I don't feel like I'm missing anything at all. I don't feel like I'm cutting anything out.
Yeah, definitely. Because my dad got more into cooking over lockdown and he would be like, so what do I put instead of like the chicken? I'd be like, literally anything, like anything. Like open the fridge, put anything in. We don't need like a thing instead. Although having said that, I know some vegans, it's a bit controversial. I love a good meat alternative. Absolutely love it. You know, I'm vegan for the animals, not because I hated the taste or texture or whatever of meat. I can't believe it was a living thing, so that's the problem.
Yeah. But
there's like, I think they've changed their name, it's Naked Glory, but I think now they're like Naked Taste or something, do a really good sort of alternative to chicken, and it's so nice. I just, yeah. And now those swaps, as well as chucking, you know, sweet potato and mushrooms and whatever in, those swaps make it even easier.
Yeah, I think there's sort of no excuse now, is there, if you've kind of, you know, I mean, obviously some people would say, you know, you need to be in a privileged position to go vegan. But I think if you do feel that you are in that position, then there's kind of no excuse not to give it a go, because there's so many amazing alternatives out there, so many different brands. So are you quite vocal about veganism then?
I find it's a sensitive area for some people. And when I'll go, I don't know that many vegans. Like being an actor, the more jobs you're on, the more you meet, because creatives, for whatever reason, tend to kind of focus on that lifestyle a bit more. But so when I'll go out with friends and they'll be like, oh, I'm really sorry, I'm getting like a salmon salad or whatever, I'm always like, that's fine. That's absolutely fine. Because I just think, let them enjoy their life, let them enjoy their food. But what I will do is when they come over, they'll eat vegan food, and all the time they're always like, oh, I didn't even notice that this was vegan. Like, I, you know, it didn't feel any different. So I try and do it in those ways. And I just say, yeah, I mean, you know, if you just go vegan for a day, or if you just swap beef for like, well, I mean, I know Beyond Meat is like a very expensive option, but there's so many like Green Cuisine, whatever, just swap that. And then they're like, yeah, I'll maybe try that. So I find that the kind of the not too full on approach actually works. And my mum even went veggie during lockdown. When I went vegan, she went veggie. And she said that's because she's learned so much from me. I think it helped a lot that I wasn't badgering. I wasn't pushing. And now, well, my partner has never really cooked with meat. My family now basically don't cook with meat. So I feel like they'll eat meat when they go out and if they get a takeaway. But yeah, I do find a kind of subtle approach. And also I will speak out about animal cruelty. That's never in doubt. And through that, and I suppose kind of just when I make a really good vegan hot chocolate with like whipped cream and everything, I'll just put it on my story or my Instagram story, just let people know it's vegan, just kind of drop it there and let them take what they want from it.
That's definitely the best way, I think, sort of activism through food. It is funny, isn't it, how friends apologize for eating, you know, fish or meat in front of you. I don't really even think about it. I'm not sort of, I don't know, maybe they think we're sort of massively offended by seeing the meat. It's like, well, it's all around us. We're still living in this world, you know, we're not sort of suddenly completely blindsided.
Exactly. We still go to the supermarket, like we still see stuff.
Exactly. But yeah, I suppose it's nice that they feel, I don't know, it does make me feel awkward when people apologize for eating meat. I feel like it's fine, just, you know.
I'm always like, just get what you want. It really doesn't offend me. But every now and then someone will say, no, I'll have something veggie. And I'm like, please don't for me. And then they will. And, you know, that's fine by me also. I don't think they often go as far as vegan. But if you're going to go veggie, you know, for the evening, then I'm back in that.
Yeah, exactly. I think any cutting down of animal products is a good thing. So what are a few of your favourite meals then?
Oh God, you're getting me on meals. Oh, I'm such a foodie. I mean, I love food so much. Favorite meals. You know, I did actually, I went to a friend's last night to watch Lord of the Rings. I have seen it before the judgment begins. I have seen it, but we thought we'd rewatch.
To the party.
Yeah, not quite, but I couldn't remember any of it, to be fair. But a neat burger just opened. Where he is, and I had some of that, which is delish. But in terms of me cooking, I love a good like taco. I've got a lot more into Mexican food since going vegan. I don't know why, if there's a correlation or it just kind of happened.
I think it lends itself well, doesn't it? Because you can get all the flavors in there, like the spices and the lime and the chili, and you don't necessarily need meat. You can have beans or, you know, whatever. I think, I love Mexican food.
Yeah, I've got some planting downstairs and I am planning on making some tacos with it this week.
Nice. I've never actually cooked with that.
Yeah, I cooked with it the other week and it was not very ripe. So I had to like deep fry it, but it's like getting more black around the edges now. So it's nearly good to go, I think.
Okay.
But otherwise, I have my dad's from Goa. So basically any curry that we make, and because it's so easy to just chuck veg in a curry. I also made a Goan green curry, which isn't very known of outside like Goan culture, but it is, oh my gosh, heaven. Goan food is, oh, like my mouth is watering thinking about it. And Goan green curry, I put the kind of, we call it fake chicken, but the chicken alternative in that along with like potatoes, and that was tasty. But otherwise I just put mushrooms if it wasn't for my like meat eating dad and brother.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, that sounds amazing. Did you ever live in Goa then, or were you born in the UK?
No, I've always been London through and through, but my dad moved over. Well, he was born in Kenya, lived in Mumbai. He's never actually lived in Goa, but then moved here in his 20s. But we go like almost every year, obviously COVID. So I'm a bit nervous to go back as a vegan. I've never been and been vegan. So I'm really scared as to what I can actually eat, because obviously India for veggie stuff is not a problem, but as a vegan it might be tricky, so I have to see.
So what have you got lined up next then in terms of acting? So you've finished Casualty now.
I'm a writer as well, so I'm writing a comedy series based on my family, so like the mixed cultures and stuff, because people don't realize that there is a sizable-ish population in India who are Catholic. And so I was brought up Catholic and people don't kind of realize that. So I want to put all this stuff in a comedy series. So I'm working on that right now and might have some casualty people jumping on board. And otherwise, I've just literally, I think yesterday, booked a little comedy fun thing that I'll be doing for ITV2 in like next month. But yeah, like we'll see. I'm an actor because I absolutely love variety. So a lot of my friends don't get it, but I kind of like the unknown and like we'll see. And I'm very, very excited to see what's around the corner.
Yeah, I love some of the clips on your Instagram feed, actually.
Comedy sketches I've done.
Yes. Before.
Yeah, I did that like the summer before I joined Casualty. And that was like one of the funnest shoots I've ever done. It was just so fun. And like everyone was hilarious because I got all actors with like comedy background or just like funny bones. And yeah, that was just the most fun ever. It was so good. Some of those scenes are so weird. But yeah, like I love comedy.
So for any sort of vegan listeners that want to support a vegan actor, where can they go to vote for you then before? Because there's a cutoff point, isn't there, for voting?
There is, yes. So if they go to the National Television Awards website, it's so easy. It literally takes about 1 minute. And there's a big fat button that says vote now. And there are categories like returning drama or, yeah, best drama series, best presenter, like best drama performance. And if you click through and vote for your favourite people, I am towards the end in the newcomer category. You'll see my little like sassy face as Phoenicia Catry, the paramedic. And yeah, it's just super quick and easy. And the cutoff is the 9th of September, as that is when the awards, which will be televised, will be on. So yeah, it's creeping up on me.
Exciting. So is it a live ceremony this year? It's actually sort of going ahead.
Exactly. Yeah, it's at the O2. This will be my first red carpet event. I'm honestly like terrified. I'm so nervous. But I'll get to take a guest. So I'll be taking my brother, my like big brother. So he'll be there kind of, you know, keeping me calm because I'm going to be so nervous. Everyone's all right. I'm imagining everyone will be so comfortable on the red carpet, but that is very foreign to me.
So
it's going to be a weird night, but loads of fun as well. I'm so excited for it, and I'm just so like flattered to have been nominated.
We'll have to watch you. We'll have to watch out for it. So that takes place on the 9th, does it?
So voting closes, I think, when the ceremony starts, or maybe like a couple of hours before the ceremony starts. So it's gonna be weird.
Amazing. Have you sorted out your outfit?
Oh, I'm having outfit like crises. Honestly, I'm going back and forth because I'm so indecisive. I'm a Gemini, you know, it's in our nature. But I think actually I'm going to wear a dress that I got at a market stall in Goa like years ago with the vegan kind of ethos, you know, of kind of ethical sourcing. And it's something I already own. I'm getting secondhand shoes that are on their way. I'm talking to a jewelry maker who makes sort of Indian pieces. And they're all ethically sourced and sustainable and everything. So yeah, I'm just making sure to kind of bring who I am to my outfit. So my heritage and also my kind of beliefs, I guess. If I don't know, that sounds quite intense, but like my ethical beliefs, maybe.
Yeah, it's a weird one, isn't it, with veganism? It's like, is it something you believe, or is it, you know, something that we should all just be doing? I mean, I kind of believe the latter, to be honest. Well, I'm so excited to see you. We will all vote for you and look out for you on the red carpet. Good luck. Thank you for being an animal champion for us all. You can follow Olivia on Instagram. What's your handle?
It is Olivia_DeLima with no apostrophe, DLIMA.
Brilliant. Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. Lovely to chat to you.
Well, that's it for this episode. Don't forget to tune in next Tuesday morning when I'll be speaking to Amelia Christie Miller, who will be talking all about beans. She's founder of the campaign Beans Over Burgers, and she wants to spread the word that natural foods are always better than processed. In the meantime, don't forget to visit the Vegan Food and Living website. You can follow us on Instagram at Simply Vegan Podcast and at Vegan Food and Living. And you can also leave us a review on your platform of choice.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.